Good morning. And welcome to worship here at Calvary. If you are new to Calvary, an especially warm welcome to you. We're glad you're here. And if you happen to be new to Calvary, we'd love for you to fill out that little envelope you received in your bulletin, drop it in the offering basket. That's how we get connected with folks, and we'd love to get connected with you. We are in the midst of our summer worship series, and that worship series is called It's Personal. And we've been talking about how the faith that Jesus brought into this world, it was always meant to be personal, but too often in each of our lives, faith can seem a little disconnected to our Monday through Saturday lives. And so we are hoping that through this series that faith would become just a little bit more personal for you and for me. A couple of announcements here. If you're somebody who happens to be on Facebook, we do this each and every week. We'd love for you to check in. For every 10 check-ins, we partner with an organization that provides a pair of shoes to a child in need. And so if you check in, that's an easy way to do something really, really great. We just had, many of you were here for the congregational meeting. That meeting began at 8 o'clock and will continue out at Luther Crest. The first half of the meeting was a unanimous vote to call Angie Larson as our executive minister. And so we're really, really excited about that. She'll be joining our staff team September 4th. I assume she'll be visiting to find housing and things like that throughout the summer. So hopefully we have an opportunity to introduce her before the fall. So we're excited about that. Also, during that meeting, we recognized Paige Good, and Paige is right here. Paige, would you just stand? Just stand for me. How about a round of applause for Paige? So Paige has served as our caring minister here at Calvary for a good long time, and I know that many of you have been on the recipient end of her great caring ministry. She's leaving us, and we are very, very sad. She will leave a big hole in my heart, I know, in the hearts of many. She's headed to Florida. Why would someone move to Florida? Huh? Really? Come on. But she's moving to Florida. Her husband took a great position there, and so our prayers are for you and for Matt and for Mac and for Hanson, for your entire family. We love you. Another member of our congregation, Maddie Elliott, who is attending Luther Seminary, will be taking on that caring ministry role, and so you will get to know her and hear from her in the coming months ahead. All right, last but not least, if you've been around Calvary for some time, you know that we have been talking about a building expansion, renovation project. There are some great schematic drawings of it back in the gathering area, but we thought we would take a question to the kids of our church and to ask them if you were to design our church, what things would you make sure you included? All right, and so we've got a little video straight from the kids. Make sure the volume's nice and loud. We're going to watch that at this time.
No garbage cans. Lots of toys. Lots of people. A church service with a lot of people and a lot of songs.
A coffee shop.
Cool. Candy shop.
Play area.
Collect. A horse?
Yeah. Tinkle.
What?
Cool.
Maybe we had more fun with it than they did. A ton of fun. Well, we continue to do work on our plans for that building project. There's two teams that are working on this, the Appeal Leadership Team, and they're planning for fundraising efforts that'll begin at the end of the summer. There's another team, the Building Planning Team, that continued to do their work in modifying and honing in on those construction documents with our architect and our builder. And so that work continues in the background throughout this summer. All right, enough for announcements. Invite you to please stand, greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love.
Good morning. We begin our worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
We continue our service with our confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Now we confess our sins together. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now we hear the promise of forgiveness. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. And all God's people said,
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. The world for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Amen.
us all join in praying together the prayer of the day. God, if we are honest, sometimes faith feels a bit disconnected from real life. It feels abundant in church and in the world of the Bible, but faith can feel detached from all we experience day to day. God, the faith Jesus brought into this world was meant to be personal. So God, open us to a faith that is more intimate, more authentic, and more real. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Please read responsively Psalm 85, verses 8 to 13. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly.
Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before and prepares the way for his steps.
This time I invite the youngsters to come forward for a special message. And as they come forward, we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. Let's try that. Come on forward, guys. Good job, you guys. Hey, I have some, what are these things? Do you know what this is? What does this look like?
Cape.
A cape. Who would like to wear one? I've only got two. Would you put one on? There we go. And who else? You want to wear one? Okay. So these capes, my boys, so one of the sad things about my boys is they feel like they've gotten too old to wear these around the house anymore. In fact, one of my boys, my younger boy, I can talk about him. He's not here today. He used to wear his cape to church. It was awesome. But who wears a cape? Who wears capes? Who?
Superheroes.
Superheroes. Who are your favorite superheroes? Anybody have a favorite superhero?
I like all.
Who's your favorite?
Superman.
Superman. Pretty cool.
I like Super Y.
Super Y. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. They like to read, right?
Wonder Woman.
Or Captain, was it Captain Marvel? A new one? Captain America, right? So we could talk about superheroes all day, right?
Yeah.
But something unique about some superheroes, like Superman has a secret identity. Does anyone know what his secret identity? Do you remember his name when he's not Superman? He's Clark Kent, right? And Batman, you remember Batman? He has a secret identity, and I totally forgot. Who is it? What's his secret? Bruce Wayne. That's right. Bruce Wayne. He's got a secret identity. But I was thinking about you guys, and I was thinking about sort of how you are the opposite of superheroes. Like, you have an identity like Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, like your everyday ordinary people. But guess what? You also have a secret identity. You do. You do. And it's kind of a superhero identity. And we're going to hear about it in the Bible today, because God looks at you and says, you are my chosen, you are royalty, you are my special possession. Huh? To God, you're kind of like superheroes. Huh? How about you all strike a pose like a superhero? Let's try it. There we go. Right? You have a secret identity, and we're going to let that out of the bag today. That you aren't just Bob and Sue and Steve and Chris, but you have a secret identity, and that is as a chosen child of God. God looks at, what's that? Yeah, it's a candle, right, yeah. You are chosen by God. You are royalty to God. You are God's special, special possession. So you have a secret identity in God, and that you are kind of like a little superhero to this God of ours. Pretty cool? Thumbs up? Awesome. Pastor Nathan has a whole box of suckers over there. You can go and grab one of those today. All right? All right. Awesome. Well, today is Father's Day, so I want you to look at a man around you and say, Happy Father's Day. Come on, say it. So we say that to all men today because whether you have kids or don't have kids, you no doubt play sort of a mentoring role in somebody's life, a fathering role. And so we're thankful for that. Happy Father's Day. But since it's Father's Day, I thought I would bring some manly things. Is that me? That's going to be a long sermon if that keeps up. Is that better? Awesome. It got stuck in my beard. Speaking of manly, right? So we're going to talk about some manly things. Men, I want to hear you. One, two, three. Oh, right? One, two, three. There we go. So we're going to talk about some manly things. I brought my grill with me today. Guys go, there we go. Like, grills are kind of a manly thing. I love to grill, and I hate to admit this. I have not one, not two, but three grills in my possession. Hi, I'm Hans. I'm a grillaholic. So it's kind of a manly thing, and what I've learned about grills is you're kind of, guys, you're either a Weber guy, or you're a Traeger guy, or you're a Big Green Egg guy. Like, we guys love grilling, and what I've noticed about my wife is my wife doesn't totally understand this. Like, when I tell her, you know, I think I need another grill, she goes, right? And here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say to my wife. Don't question it. It's just a guy thing, right? It's a guy thing, right? And so I brought my fishing pole as well. Guys, how many of you, if you have a little free time, you like to fish? Raise your hand if you like to fish, right? Lots of guys like to fish. You know, if you're a fisherman, you got to have the boat, right? You have to have the really cool boat. You got to have all the gear. You got to have 800 Rapalas and all the stuff. And then, of course, you need a really nice pickup, guys, to pull the boat. Am I right? Right? It's a guy thing. And when my wife sort of questions, you're really going to go fishing again? She doesn't understand when I say, well, it's for the family. I just want to put food on the table, honey. Right? She kind of looks at me, and that's when I say it's a guy thing. Or how about this? How about this? Any Vikings fans? Right? Someone gave me a Packers fan and said, you should use the Packers fan. And I said, you should use the Packers flag. I said, not in this church. Right? Not in this church. But for some guys, during the fall, Sunday afternoon is far more holy than Sunday morning, right? It's a holy time, and if you're at all like our family, my wife doesn't always understand it. And so I tell her it's a guy thing. It's a guy thing. I have one more thing here I brought with, a chainsaw, right? So I wish this was mine, but it isn't. I had to borrow it. But chainsaws are this funny thing. Like, I have never met a guy who doesn't wish they own a chainsaw, right? I've never met a guy who doesn't wish they had. You don't have to have trees at all, but there's something about a chainsaw that every guy wishes they had. And my wife just rolls her eyes, and that's when I say it's a guy thing. It's a guy thing. Golfing. Golf night is like a religious night for some guys. For younger men, it's gaming. It's things like Xboxes and all that kind of stuff. There's beards. I had a lady last week after church. She looked at me and said, why do you have that dirty stuff all over your face? You're ruining your face. I should have just turned to her and said, it's a guy thing. It's a guy thing. There are all these things. And today on Father's Day, your families, guys, they will humor you. They don't necessarily understand these guy things, but they're going to humor you. And some of you are going to get that sleeve of golf balls for a gift, the ones that have imprinted world's greatest dad. If you're a fisherman, some of you are going to get the tie with the fish on it. Or if you like to grill, you're going to get the grill tools, right? And so we men who are into this kind of stuff, we just want to say thank you, right? Thank you for humoring us today. But I do want to ask a question, men, of you as we celebrate Father's Day. And the question is this. Why do we care so much about these kinds of things? Why is it we care so much about these kinds of things? And it's not just these things. It's things like pickup trucks and snowmobiles and side-by-sides and fish houses. It's things like that. And if it's not our hobbies, some of us care a whole lot. We men get wrapped up in our jobs. For us men, our careers are really, really important to many of us. Our financial status. Why is it that we care so much about all these things? And here's what I want to suggest this morning. We believe, if we go to the next slide, we believe they say something about our what? Our identity. We believe all these things out there say something about who we are. And you women, you don't understand this at all. I mean, you women would never say, you'd never say this, that the clothes someone wears says something about the person inside. Or the shoes they're wearing, the purse they're carrying, the book club they're in, the hairstylist they go. You'd never say any of that, so you don't understand any of this. Our students would understand. I mean, students would never understand that the crowd they hang out with, or the sports they're in, or the grades they get, the car they drive. They don't believe that they say something about who they are. Of course they do. You see, we have this idea that all this stuff out there, it says something about who we are. And here's what I think. I think for those of us that are engaged in social media, I think social media has made this all the more acute. That we put out on social media the version of ourselves we want the world to see. A version of our identity. It's kind of like, do you remember in the 90s, there was a Canon camera commercial with Andre Agassi. And the tagline on that commercial was this, image is everything. Image is everything. For some of us, it's things that we do today or things that we have today that we believe say something about who we are. For others of us, it's things from the past. It's things from the past. Maybe you were an athlete in the day, and now your body doesn't keep up, and you struggle with that. Or maybe for you, your career was really important. You were very successful in business, but now you're retired, and you've struggled to figure out, who am I now? Or maybe along the way, you've had some failures that have shaped who you believe you are. Maybe there was a failed marriage. Maybe there was a failed business attempt. You see, we have these things out there that we believe say something about who we are. Men in general, I want to talk to you for just a minute. We men have a strange relationship with our dads. That could be a whole sermon in and of itself. You see, we do. We have this strange relationship with our dads because something about our relationship to our dads is wrapped up in our identity, who we see ourselves to be. For some of you, your father was a really great guy. And you've lived your entire life trying to catch up to him. Your identity is somehow wrapped up with your father. For others of you, your dad was absent. He was kind of a creep. And so you've spent your entire life running from him. And your identity is built on how you are not like your father. You see, we have this these things that are out here that we believe say something about who we are. Well, I brought along my binoculars today because I think this is a really great image. So binoculars, if you have something off in the distance, maybe there's a deer or there's an eagle up in a tree, you use your binoculars because they appear really, really small off in the distance. So you pull up your binoculars and those things that appear really, really small, they get bigger, right? The binoculars magnify that small object and make them appear really, really big. But there's a second thing that binoculars also do. When you look through binoculars, you all look really big, by the way. When you look through binoculars, what happens is you can only see that small object off in the distance. Binoculars have this way of blocking out everything else. You no longer see the landscape because it magnifies that one little object when you look through binoculars. You can't see the landscape, but that little object off in the distance appears to be really, really big. Well, I think about those binoculars and I think about the things that we find our identity in. And it seems to me that when we look at our own lives, it's kind of like looking through binoculars. We see these little things like the things we do, the things we've achieved, the things we haven't achieved, the things that we have, these little things in the great story of our life. And what's interesting is those little things appear to be really big when we try and figure out who we are. We make little things really, really big. And here's the other thing. We often are unable to see the great landscape of our lives. We focus in when figuring out our identity on little things, and we miss the greater story of our life, the story that God sees. You see, here's the great thing about our faith. It's this, that God sees your bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture of your life. Anybody a fan of 80s rock? Okay, so about four of you will appreciate this story. The rest of you will figure it out why I'm telling the story. So in the 80s, there was a guitarist, and he played for a band, and they got this awesome contract. It was their first big contract with a recording company to record their first album. And the band was flown from L.A. out to New York. And there in New York, they were preparing to record their very first album with a big label. And it was just 2 days before they were ready to record that the whole band came into this guitarist hotel room and they handed him a bus ticket. And they said, "You're done." There was no argument, no fanfare. "You're done." And so that day he loaded the bus and he headed all the way from New York to LA on the bus. And over the course of that bus ride, you can imagine he was furious. He was trying to figure out how he's going to burn their houses down when he got back to L.A. I don't know. He was angry. But as he moved across the country, that anger he channeled into a goal. He said, "It's going to be my mission in life that I'm going to form a new band. And this new band is going to be way better than that old band. In fact, that old band is going to regret that they ever let go of me. And I'm going to become so rich, I'm going to bathe in $100 bills. While we're so good, we're going to take all the fans away from that old band, and they're going to be flipping burgers at McDonald's." Well, he went on to form his own band. The guy's name is Dave Mustaine. And if you were an 80s rock fan, which I understand we all aren't, but he went on to form the band Megadeth. Megadeth went on to sell 85 million albums, and they toured the entire world. By all accounts, his goal, his dream, was lived. There's a problem, though. The band he was fired from was Metallica. Metallica is arguably the most famous rock band of the 80s. They toured the world 8 times over. They sold 125 million albums. Dave Mustaine lived out a dream, but whenever he was interviewed, even to this day, he tells people that he was a failure. He says, I will always be known as the guy who was fired from Metallica. You see, when we focus in on these little tiny details in our life and we build our identity on those little tiny things, well, we blow them up and we miss the greater landscape of our life, the greater story of our life, the bigger picture that God sees. And here's the other thing about the things that we see when we look at our identity. The things we believe say the most about us are always things that are external to us. They're things that are out there. It's the stuff we have, the successes we have or don't have. And here's the thing. Whenever we build our identity on those external things, those things out there, we're bound for unhappiness. You see, I believe God wants us to work hard, to do the best we can. But when we build our identity on things out there, we're always going to be unhappy. You see, here's the thing I think God wants you and I to know. Your real identity is the part of you that cannot be changed. There's a part of us that God has planted deep inside us. Our real identity is in those things that God has put inside of us. And they will never change. Put another way, you could say this. We define who we are by those things out there. God sees what's in here. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. He's begun the church in Ephesus. And the church was made up all Gentiles in the church in Ephesus. Now, a little bit about Gentiles. Gentiles were non-Jews. And so they weren't allowed into the religious community of that ancient world. They were seen as outcasts, as rejects, as an abomination to the life of the synagogue. And so as Paul went to Ephesus, he began a church just of Gentiles. And he tried to impress upon them that they were too part of God's great family. Well, some missionaries made their way, Jewish missionaries made their way through Ephesus. And they started telling these Ephesians that they were less than whole in the eyes of God, that they needed to shape up or ship out. So Paul writes this letter to them to say, hey, what you're doing is looking through binoculars. You're making this little detail that you just happen to be a Gentile bigger than it actually is. And you're missing the greater landscape that God sees, the greater picture of your life that God sees. And so he writes these words to the people in Ephesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. God chose you, Ephesians. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He's saying to the Ephesians, quit looking through those binoculars. The picture of your life is so much bigger. It's so much grander. And God sees that greater picture. And God, the part of that picture God wants you to know is you are chosen. You are my chosen. My wife and I were preparing to be married, like many of you guys, I really wanted to help with wedding preparations. She knew better, and so she gave me one job, and that was way back when, before smartphones, you'd actually put a map in with the invitation. Do you remember this? You'd put a map in with the invitation so people knew where to go, and the map would show you where the church is and where the reception hall and where the hotel was. Well, she said, that was my job, and so I had heard of this brand new thing. It was called MapQuest. And so I went on my computer and I typed in all the addresses and it spit out a map and I went, perfect, cut, paste, print. Well, we put that in the wedding invitations, they went out. Fast forward to our wedding day, about 10 minutes before our wedding starts, we notice that besides our family and the people who were in the wedding, there was no one else there yet. And then our flip phones started ringing, and it was our friends telling us that the map had led them to the middle of a field 5 miles from the church. Oops. You see, here's what I think. When we get our identity wrapped up in those little things, and we believe that they say more about our life than God believes they do, here's what I believe. It's like following a really bad map that's never going to lead you to the view of your life that God sees. Do you want to know what God sees in you? God sees this. In 1 Peter it says this, but you are a
chosen people.
You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are chosen. You are God's royalty. You are God's special possession. So here's what I want you to do, because you won't remember a word I say, I'm sure of it. Turn to your neighbor on your right and say to them, you are chosen just as you are. Do it. Come on. There you go. Turn to the person on your left and say, you are God's royalty just as you are. And now turn to somebody else, right? And say this, and say it like you mean it. You are God's special possession just as you are. Do it. Folks, here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is the word of God. You are God's chosen. You are royalty to God. You are God's special possession just as you are. Let me offer up a word of prayer. Gracious God, you know that we get our identity, especially we men, we get it wrapped up in all kinds of things, all the things we own and the things we do in our past. And so God, remind us that to you, those little things, they don't mean more than just little things. That you see the greater landscape of our life, that you see our bigger picture. And to you, we are your chosen. We are your royalty. We are your special possession. And for that, we give thanks. God, we pray this all in your name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let us stand and affirm together our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we share together today in the prayers of the church, I will end each petition by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for adopting each of us and for claiming us as your daughters and sons. Loving God, in our world where many outward things are seeking to define us, help us rather to always find our life and identity in you. Help us to boldly affirm each day that we are truly children of God. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Jesus, on this Father's Day, we thank you for the gift of our fathers, both those who are still part of our lives and those who have gone on before us. Loving Jesus, bless each father, mother, child, and family. Fill each home and relationship with your love, your peace, and your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, as we as a congregation have voted and are continuing to vote today to call Angie Larson as our new executive pastor, we pray your blessing upon this transitioning process. Loving God, bless Angie and her family as they seek to sell their home, find housing in this area, and as they make this major move. And bless our Calvary congregation that we will receive Angie and her family with much love, encouragement, and prayerful support. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Jesus, we know there are many who are experiencing valleys in their lives today, valleys of loss, sickness, fear, pain, and sadness. Loving Jesus, assure us that you are a personal God who walks with us no matter what life throws at us. Assure us that in you there is healing, forgiveness, hope, and new life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, you have blessed each one of us with special talents, abilities, and gifts. Holy Spirit, empower us to develop and use these gifts and talents so that we may positively impact this world with the love and grace of Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll be collecting our offering. If you are a visitor here today, if you are worshiping with us from another place, we don't expect any offering from you. Your gift is being here today, and we are excited that you are with us. But if you are part of this congregation, we just thank you for your generosity as you continue to help support the mission and ministry here at Calvary. Thank you. Please stand. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, for the remembrance of me." Would you join me in praying together the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. Now as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to fill you with his love and his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.